Hi, Shishi.
Hey, Carrie.
Sometimes I want to say it like Shishi, and sometimes like I want to say it with more attitude, like Shishi or Shay Shay.
I'll answer to anything. I like all of it.
I am really, really happy to have you on. You have joined the podcast world, so please introduce yourself and your new podcast.
Well, let me first start off by saying you, my good friend Carrie, have named me Shishi because of the sass and all of that that I have. And I'm glad you appreciate me enough to nickname me.
I cannot believe you didn't have it before.
Never. And I'm one of those people who's like, don't give me a nickname. This is my name. Just call me by my name. But when you did it, it was just, it was good. I liked it. So yeah, I am just starting this podcast, and I'm just kind of going with the ask me anything, your best friend, come to for advice, my opinion, my take on things, because, you know, in the real world, my friends always ask me for advice, and sometimes they don't, and I just give it, and it's just what I do, and I love people, I'm a people person, I love talking, and so yeah, it's just a little bit about me. And I just, I have a cold, so my voice is not the best right now. So, yeah.
I hate to put you on the spot, but what did you think about that last Moms on the Rocks? What would you have given for advice?
Moms on the Rocks. Okay, I know I listened.
One where she walked in on her husband she almost did with another man.
Well, and that was your story, right? And you were talking about they had been having issues, correct?
Yeah, this was not about me.
It was your story. You're the one who told the story.
Yeah, exactly. Because I had permission to tell it, but it was a juicy story. She had found first that he was sexting with a guy, and then it escalated to physical.
So, I mean, just a couple of things here. It's just, are you gay or are you not gay? Or are you still trying to figure things out? Either way it goes, you have to tell your wife. And I mean, it's the same thing even when you're with another woman, but I think it's a different type of hurt when you're so blindsided by something like that. You know what I mean? And he should have just been honest and told her, or, you know, filed for a divorce or something like that. If she's not making him happy, whether he was with a guy or a girl, you got to walk away. But me, if I were the recipient of that, I'd have to be out. There's no trust there. I don't know who you are. I could not, but that's in any situation. I could not stay for anything like that. I don't blame people who do. If they do, good for you, if you can forgive that, but I couldn't.
Wouldn't your mind be blown, though?
Yeah.
Because if it's somebody because you don't expect your husband.
And then it's like
or your wife. If you're in a heterosexual relationship where there's never been discussion of it.
That's a shocker. You know what I mean? And then wasn't it somebody like that they knew? Somebody down the street or something? Yeah, that's.
Yep. Somebody that was like an icon in the community.
That's insane. Yeah. I couldn't deal. I'd have to move the whole nine.
But tell me you didn't, when you were listening, you weren't like, what?
Yeah, I didn't see it coming.
I have so many. I know. And and there's even another part of it that I had cut out because I was trying to keep it classy. Mm-hmm. But I have a bunch of stories like that of people I know that are just things that you don't realize that go on behind closed doors.
Okay, so you're going to have to gather these stories and then come on my pod and we're going to chat about it.
Yes. Oh, I know. I could get my sister too because we talk about it all the time. Like, we wish we could have, you know, like Gossip Girl where they had that secret gossip.
Yes.
We would die to have like a podcast or something like that where you could just tell like secrets. Because we know we have so many different.
Oh, I'm here for
like,
it.
There, like, one of my aunts had her boyfriend and her husband in the delivery
room.
Stop
it. Stop it.
Yes.
Okay, so who's favorite?
I would. That's what I'm saying. Wait, what did you say? Whose baby was it?
Shut up! See, we got to dive into this.
Yeah,
that's too good.
That's why I said I got so many of those. That's why I was
in your life. I love it. I need more.
Sometimes I wonder why I'm such a magnet, or like why I'm that light bulb for like the moths to come around and like
tell you all the everything. I love it.
And then I'm like, they must be really comfortable with me and think I'm one of their people.
Well, because you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you're there. But in your mind, yeah. You're like, holy shit, like, for real? Yeah. Archiving everything.
Yeah. And I hate it because I don't know. Does your husband, no. Does he gossip? Because I'm always like, can't you give me? I love sure. to hear a good story. Yeah. I like a story. And I don't mean a judgment. I usually will defend the person if it's something negative. I'll be like, well, they didn't mean right. to do that, you know, or you need to, you know, like, I'm always like the
yeah, defender. No, he's not here for it. I mean, like, he'll listen, but he doesn't tell me anything. Sometimes I'll learn something and he's like, yeah.
I always want to know, like, does a girl flirt with you at work? Like, what's going on well, between them? Like, oh, like, don't you know? Like, I want to know, like, a good story. Like, tell me a story.
So about that, well, one, he works from home, so there isn't really any girls at work. But even if there were, yeah. I think that he should probably just not tell me about it. I don't want to hear about that.
No, I think at one point he thought that a girl mm-hmm. at work who was younger was being nice to him, and he was so, like, he would blush, right? Like, she left him a granola bar on his really? Desk with, like, a note, and he even, like, sent me a mm-hmm. picture of the note, like, oh, look at what she left, right? And then later on, she's like, oh, I want to introduce you to my boyfriend. He's in the Marines, da, da, da. She looked at him like a father figure, and he was, no! like, he was so deflated.
Oh, sad day.
She was, like, taking care of him like he was in the old folks home with the
that ego deflated. Sad day.
All right, so I asked you to come on because one of my things that I'm really passionate about, and I hope that you're getting on the train with me, because I hope that we can work on more cases yes. together, is that I try to highlight cases of people that are mm-hmm. Missing due to domestic violence, or it could be drug use, or it could be somebody who might not be normally highlighted in the sure. press, like minorities. Sure. I'm very passionate about that. I think every family should know what happened to their loved one. And I think everybody should always have a name if something happens to them yes. and they're buried or mm-hmm. whatever, wherever it ends up, especially if Absolutely. They had children.
Well, my story, it's going to resonate well with you because it hits just about all of that criteria. Sad story. So excited to tell you and all of your listeners about it and about her.
And you have a little bit of a personal connection, not even 6 degrees of separation yeah. with Kevin Bacon. It's even yeah, a little bit
different. I didn't know her personally, but I know people who knew her. I could have crossed paths with her at any point. She's about my age, and you know, like I said, she knew people that, or she knows, I don't want to say knew because we don't know yet, but she knew people, she knows people that I know.
So the one that I did was Sharon Ivy Jones, who is literally somebody that you could that would work mm-hmm. at your kid's school. Like, it's mm-hmm. that type of person. It's just I don't want to say the word average because none of us are average. We're all sparkly. But I mean, it's just a woman living her life. And that's where I feel so bad that I'm scared as an adult woman. I could go missing and nobody will look for me. Like, listen, yeah. I will never run away. Like,
no, you're finding Carrie. She would not have done this.
Exactly. And you have really cute pictures of me, oh, maybe girl, like 5 years old. Like, I have no.
You will have the please. Cutest glamour please. Shots ever. Like, this is my friend. Go find her.
Thank you.
I've got your back.
Can I tell you, you were taking pictures and you were posting them on Facebook, and I got really embarrassed because I thought it was song.
Really?
So yeah, because you look just like her, and you were taking pictures of your outfits, and I was like, went to like write a note, and then I was like, oh, back that one up.
Oh, that's funny.
It's complimentary,
so
though.
So many people say we look just alike, and neither one of us see it at all.
Oh, you guys look just alike, and you talk like you sent me the video. I'm like, you guys have the same mannerisms.
I know, so like, often, like, my mom will call or my dad will call, and they'll think that one is the other. It's crazy.
Oh, I could see it. I could see it. And then, like I said, I mistook you in the picture. I'm like, oh, she's posting songs outfits for the same for the first week.
Nope, that was me.
This became a reality, this, you know, the sadness of not being able to know what happened to the person and all that became a reality by the family of Sharon Ivy Jones, who disappeared on September 22, 2002 from her home in Norfolk, Virginia. And Norfolk down that way is probably about, well, I want to say it's like 3 hours from me, maybe 2.5, but with traffic, there's always construction on 95. So it would end up being like 3 to 4 hours because Kiernan actually used to be in a hospital down there and I would drive down there every weekend. Mm-hmm. When I think of this story, I picture that area and I'm thinking like, where could she be right now?
Right.
Because you have so much time in the car to think. But there's a lot of waterways down there. There's a lot of Navy down there, but it's all based around water. Just so to kind of give you a heads up, Virginia Beach is down that way. But at the time of her disappearance, she was only 33 years old, a young and vibrant mother who had just been enjoying a wedding of her friend, and she was about to go dancing with her friends before picking up her daughter from her father's house from the evening.
Right.
Isn't that all of us? Like, who hasn't done that? Sharon never picked up to claim her, and at the time, her little girl was only 2 years old. Yeah, so she's an adult woman. She's 33. She has a job. She's just hanging with friends. She has her family, and she had attended college at Norfolk State University and was working at a local elementary school, Lynn Haven Elementary, as a teacher's assistant in the school's preschool program. Yeah. So on the day of her disappearance, she had just attended the wedding of some close friends. So they decided to go dancing, and her child's father had her child. So after the dance party, Sharon left with the intention of going to a nearby Taco Bell before going home. Because I don't know about you, but I always crave McDonald's when I go out.
Oh, no. Mine was Taco Bell. We also have another little like Mexican restaurant that stays open 24 hours. Taco Bell or that restaurant, for sure.
Did you have that new Popeye sandwich everybody's talking about?
No, I haven't. And I don't like pickles. And I know that's the kicker. So I wasn't interested, but my husband was wanting to try it.
It's sold out, by the way. I just,
yeah, definitely.
Chick-fil-A is a big thing out here. So I was curious if you had tried it.
Nope. I don't like Chick-fil-A either. So I'm probably not the person to ask about any of those.
I'm not a big chicken eater, but it's been all over the news. So I feel like kind of like, I feel like an imposter because I haven't had it yet. So I was just scared.
Yeah. Nope. I haven't either.
So she was last seen driving west on I-64 in her car, which I've been on that road a bunch of times. It's unknown if she even made it to Taco Bell, which I'm like, didn't they pull her records? You know, her banking statements. I mean, well, back in 2002, I think we still used money.
Yeah, probably.
She never turned up to pick up her daughter. So this was the first sign that something was dangerously wrong. Sharon was described as a devoted and caring mother to her little girl. She would never miss a chance to pick up her child. And so her parents and police arrived at her apartment complex, Breezy Point, which I'm really happy the police even showed up because sometimes they don't even take this stuff serious. Where they found Sharon's red Toyota Tercel parked in her assigned parking spot near her apartment. Now, is that not a 90s car or what?
Right.
Late 90s, early 2000s car. I don't think they make them anymore.
I don't think so either.
When they went inside, it became immediately apparent that something was not right. The authorities found signs that some sort of disturbance had taken place inside the apartment. The door into her apartment was unlocked and open. Several of Sharon's belongings in the home were completely broken. The cords to both of her telephones had been pulled out. Despite all of this, none of Sharon's personal belongings were missing. The outfit that Sharon had been wearing while she was out that evening was found by her parents inside the house. And again, her parents stressed that it was unlike her to take off without warning because she was in regular contact with the members of her family whenever possible. There's definitely something that happened.
Yeah.
Who leaves their house like that? And what's the other thing I thought of is that's when we still had landlines, when they pulled out the phone.
Right. Yep.
Nowadays, they do trace us by our cell phone, but what if you get taken and your cell phone's left behind? That's the only sign that something happened. Mm-hmm. Her bank account had also not been accessed after her disappearance. She simply vanished into thin air, leaving her parents, sister, and daughter with no indication of what became of her. She disappeared at the age of 33, but today she'd be closer to 51. Her parents and sisters continue to search for her, but sadly her sister passed away in 2003, and her daughter is now nearly 20 years old.
Sheesh.
Foul play has been suspected, and though her car was still parked in the parking lot and her personal belongings were still home, her car keys, apartment keys, and ID were all missing from the apartment. The manner of her disappearance has caused some people to speculate as well. Even though she went home and changed clothes, it isn't clear why exactly she went home before going to pick up her daughter or didn't indicate to the father that she would be running late. Which, I don't know. I don't think that part is kind of, like, some people just don't want to tell their children's dads, like, what their business is.
Yeah, but I thought it was where she'd go back home, though, and her clothes were found there, you know?
I'm wondering, because they said her car keys, apartment keys, and ID were all missing from the apartment, but that's weird. Did her purse go? But was the person waiting for her when she walked in? And then she was changing and they, like, found her, or did they come in after?
Yeah, did she bring someone home with her? And then that's what happened? Like, before she goes to go get her kid?
Yeah, that's true, too. I didn't think of that. Sharon is a victim in more ways than one. She was robbed of her chance to raise her daughter, who now lives in New Jersey with her grandparents. In addition to all of this, little to no attention has been paid in this case. There's been little to no media coverage of her disappearance or reports on progress of this missing person case. I'm just wondering if they had brought in, because it was still pretty early, like it wasn't even 24 hours when they brought the police. Like, her parents already knew something was up when they called the police. Like, they didn't even check the apartment first. They had called the police first. Could they have brought in dogs? Because some of those cases, if you've ever watched ID Channel, it ends up being somebody in the housing, in the same complex.
Yeah. Huh. No
other theories you can think of? Do you think it was somebody she knew? Like, does your sixth sense say?
As you were first reading that part about her clothes and everything were found in the apartment, I immediately went to, she was out dancing, having a good time with friends. Maybe she brought somebody home, you know, have a little fun before I go pick up the kid, and then something went horribly wrong. She picked up a psychopath. Something.
Did she even end up meeting the friends, though? Did she end up meeting the friends? Because they don't even know if she went to Taco Bell.
Okay, but she went out with the friends.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
After the dance party, Sharon left with the intention of going to nearby Taco Bell before going home. You're totally correct. Yeah, so maybe she was telling somebody, meet me at my house or follow me to my house.
Right. Or I'm going to tell my friends I'm going to Taco Bell because I don't want them to know that I'm meeting back up with this guy.
I just watched a show the other day and somebody was like, well, why would they go back out? Or why would they go with they said they were sick at the club and then they went back out and to go meet this guy. I'm like, girls do that all the time. Like, they know half the time they don't tell their friends what they're doing on the side.
And
that
buys her time. Like, if she has to go pick up her kid, you know, oh, she's stopping at Taco Bell, McDonald's, whatever, and she's eating, you know, and then she goes to pick up her kid, but that buys her some time to go home and do what she does and get back to her kid. That's just what my gut says.
I think you might be right. And did they look at the surveillance tapes, and did they really look at what she was doing that night when she was out? I bet they didn't. I bet they didn't go to that extent.
I bet they didn't either.
They should have put us on the case.
It would have
been like Netflix, The Keepers.
Mm-hmm. I've got all the theories.
We would at least found some suspects, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. See? They messed up here.
I just feel really sad. Because I don't know what it is about her, but I just feel a connection with her.
Yeah, that's sad. Her baby was too.
Because I just feel like she's just like a normal mom. Like, she's a normal working mom like any other single working mom would be.
One night. You know, as she should.
And we already feel guilty as it is when we do stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she was intending on still picking up her daughter that night.
And her family says that she would have. She would have missed that. Or at least called and said, hey, I'll be there in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Something's not right.
All right, so what case do you have?
I have a lady from here, from Omaha, Nebraska, middle of the map. Her name is Kamisha Hollis. And I wrote up just a little something about her here. This is Kamisha Hollis. She's a 35-year-old woman. She's been missing since April 2nd, 2018. Waiting for her return are her three daughters, approximately the ages of 10, 8, and 6, and also her mother, Martha Hollis. Okay, Kamisha has been in a relationship with the father of her children, Marvin Young, and he's 36 at last check, for nearly 2 decades. So more than half her life.
Wow, that is so. She must have met him when she was probably
high school, I'm guessing.
Teens or early 20s. Yeah. Anybody who has that kind of first love, or
it's hard to break away.
It is, and sometimes you'll let bad behavior go by or whatever. Yep.
So you're pegging this perfectly. Yeah, Martha and Kamisha Hollis, they're very close, speaking to each other every single day, most of the time, multiple times a day. Martha describes her daughter's relationship as troubled, as there has been a history of domestic violence. Kamisha kept audio and pictures of the abuse she encountered from Marvin. In December of 2017, Kamisha documented being beaten up unconscious and waking up in her bathtub with cold water running. 6 months later, she wrote a draft email stating that if anything ever happened to her, Marvin did it.
This reminds me of the cold case, or not cold, the cold podcast with the chick from Utah.
Huh, I didn't hear that one, but it reminded me of Nicole Brown Simpson saying that. Didn't she say that too?
Yeah. You don't remember the case of the girl? She went missing in the dead of winter. Her husband said that they went camping. He went camping with the boys. And she documented some of this in a safety deposit box and stuff. And he still retained like custody of the kid and stuff.
Maybe if I heard more of it.
Oh, it was such a messed up story. Yeah, I'll send you the podcast if you want to listen, because I read the book and it blew, like, made me so angry. Yeah. And just hearing this is basically she's identifying like her killer.
That's all you need. They know. This is so sad. Okay, Martha Hollis reported to the police that Kamisha was ready to leave Marvin, and even told him he had to leave the home by April 1st, 2018. She even spoke with her landlord, confirming that she could still reside in the home without him. So now we're going to skip ahead to the next day, April 2nd. After not being able to get a hold of her daughter, Martha visited Kamisha's job and found out that she had not shown up for work that day, which was very unusual for her. Okay, Martha went to Kamisha and Marvin's residence and found her three grandchildren inside alone. This was a school day, and not only should they have been in school, but Kamisha would have never left them home without an adult. Martha called the police to file a missing adult report. The police began investigating and quickly called the homicide unit after finding 5 shell casings, 2 live bullets, and drops of Kamisha's blood in the garage and basement. So now we're going to go back to the previous night or morning. So on the night of April 1st, their oldest daughter, who remember she was 10 at the time, she testified to hearing.
Yeah, how old was she?
The daughter, Kamisha, was 35.
No, the daughter. 10. Oh my gosh, because I read up a little bit on this and what happened with the daughter, and that's messed up. I almost cursed there. That is messed up.
So on the night...
That poor, poor girl.
Yeah, it's horrible. On the night of April 1st, their oldest daughter testified to hearing her parents arguing. She mentioned hearing the words stop and ouch. She also saw her father hit her mother with a boot. During the argument, the father took their daughter's phone away, and police believe he gave the children a sleeping medication such as Benadryl. The oldest daughter admits she did not take the medicine as she was told. At around 2:35 a.m., Marvin asked if his oldest daughter wanted to go out for ice cream. They left for 45 minutes, and this was verified through cell tower records and his daughter's testimony, but they never actually stopped to get the ice cream. At 3:47 a.m., the surveillance cameras at the Hollis Young home were turned face down. At 4:07 a.m., an alert shows the basement door was opened, but there were no images due to the position of the camera. GPS reports from Marvin's phone shows that he left his home at 5:11 a.m. and went to Walnut, Iowa, back to Omaha, Nebraska, and then to Plattsmith, Nebraska, to the Schilling Wildlife Establishment. Kamisha's 2018 red Hyundai Elantra was seen entering the Schilling Wildlife area just before 1 p.m. and leaving at 1:30 p.m. Hotel surveillance in downtown Omaha shows Marvin dropping her car off at the hotel, placing her purse in the trunk, and walking away with a plastic bag. And I just wanted to add here, I saw this in several articles, that Marvin was wearing slippers, which that makes me believe that something was going on, because he left his house so early at the beginning of the day. Like, I'd be wearing slippers too, right?
What did he tell his daughter why they didn't get ice cream? They just were going to just drive around. Oh, no place is open. That's so bizarre and creepy.
I didn't see anything, but right, it's 2 something in the morning. I don't know what would be open. Officers found her car at the hotel a few days later on accident. They were literally just driving down the street and it caught one of their eyes and they found the car. The back seat was soaking wet and they recovered evidence of Kamisha's blood from the back seat and seatbelt. Officers talked to Marvin by phone at 4 p.m. the same day and he said he was out looking for Kamisha. He also told them, and I quote, "She could afford to lose him, but he can't afford to lose her." And that's from the officer. Marvin has been in custody since April 2nd on child abuse charges after leaving the couple's children home unattended that day. And just kind of a little bit of an update, on July 23rd of this year, a preliminary hearing was conducted where he requested the judge to dismiss the case due to lack of evidence. The judge disagreed and he will stand trial. So that's the end of that. But there is this little note that I kind of wanted to add because I want to see what your gut feeling is.
Yeah.
Is I read in several different articles that Marvin says that Kamisha was seeing another man a few months before her disappearance. At 2:20 a.m. on April 2nd, just minutes before being seen on the camera for the last time, she was seen on her phone. She was sitting on, like, laying on the couch on her phone. Police did report seeing a Facebook search for that other man's name. So whatever man he named, there was a search at 2:20 a.m. that we know she did because she was on camera. That was the last time we saw her on camera searching for that man's name. So like that leaves questions. Like, so did Marvin actually do that search, like do a search later, or did that trigger another fight?
I think that
it's just the timeline and the exact times are really crazy how it all happened.
Yeah. And then he made sure to leave the house for that time period. It's like,
and then you take your kid.
Yeah, and I think he ended up giving her another dose or something like that. I read that later on. And then they were alone when they woke up. It's so bizarre. It's almost like, was he trying to cast out, like, I'll leave the house while she slowly dies? But the thing is, that's weird, and this is what I was thinking. I don't know where you live, what type of neighborhood, but I would think if there was spent casings that the neighbors would have heard shots. I feel like maybe those was not the murder. I think, did he leave so she would bleed out, or did he bleed? So then there would be doubt on his alibi to say, oh, well, that man must have came over while he was gone. Do you know what I mean? But is this guy that smart, or is this guy that smart?
Right. Oh, that's, I didn't think.
But I think wonder if she was like reaching out to another guy just to help her
move on,
get out of the situation, to be like, I'm scared, I need someone to protect me. You know, there might not even have been anything going on between them. I don't know. What do you think? What does your gut instinct say?
That he did something. And do you remember quite a while ago when I was telling you about all the floodings and everything that happened here?
Yes.
So this was, I believe, somewhere around those times, that time, or even the after effect of it, because I saw some articles talking about like the flooding and how they sent like 3 different dive teams to this Platsmith River area, and you know, with no luck.
And who goes to the wildlife refuge at 8 o'clock in the morning when you got 3 kids?
I mean, it's,
he's not a, is he a fisherman?
Not that I know of, but I don't know. I can't really say. I mean, it's just bizarre. And then you're in your slippers. You know, it just sounds like somebody who went crazy and was trying to figure out what he was going to do.
Can you imagine, like, the mother said she hardly visited her daughter's house because it was dark and negative place because of Young. She said she didn't know that there was a gun in the house until after her daughter went missing. She said one of her granddaughters told her that Young kept a gun in the bedroom closet. This is from the Sandhill Express. What I was thinking, though, is like, can you imagine what the girls have gone through, those daughters? Like, seeing their mother be...
Yeah.
To the daughters, it was normal.
Sad.
And I feel like it was pre-planned because he gave those daughters medicine to get them to sleep.
But I almost wonder, when did he give them the medicine? Was it after the fact and he needed them to go to sleep, you know, so that he can take her body? If that's what's happened, I really hope that that's not what happened, but, you know.
Yeah, the account I read said that he gave them the sleep aids, but the oldest spat hers out and stayed awake. But then he knows later on she was still awake and he gave it to her. That, but again, there's conflicting stories of that. But I just feel like when you want your kids to be asleep like that, because you want to deal with their mom, it's just so, it's like that anger is like planned out. It's not, you can't plead it insanity when you do something like that. When you're like, let me get the witnesses to sleep.
Right. And then we got to think of also that timeline that Mother Martha told us about, how she wanted him gone by April 1st. And all of this started to go down on April 1st. Was it okay? Hey, it's April 1st. You need to get out. You need to leave.
Yeah.
You know?
Was she the breadwinner? Was the wife the breadwinner too?
I am not sure, but one of my friends worked with her. So I know that she was employed, had a good job. I don't know too much about him, but I know that, you know, she went to work every day. And, you know, I spoke with one of my friends that worked with her, and she said that she was like life of the party. And I hate to keep saying was, I need to correct that because we don't know for sure. But like, she's just all about her family, all about her kids, and happy to be at work, positive force. Everybody loved her, loves her. So,
and that's one of the reasons why I like to talk about some of these stories too, because I feel like it keeps the spirit alive or it keeps the energy going. And it's so weird because sometimes I've covered topics on here and then all of a sudden it will reappear in the news. Something came up about it, or something was a fresh look, or that's the other reason why I'm glad that we talked about her too, because just it keeps the energy there.
Sure. You know, she deserves that no matter where she is, what's going on.
Yeah. One thing I admire about the police is that in this case, at least, they got him on that child neglect charge to at least lock him up. You know, they were like, okay, we can't prove murder right now, but we're going to take, this is one case, at least they're taking it serious. We got to get him locked up somehow, you know?
Yes. But isn't that crazy though? Like all the surveillance, he's driving her car. He's seen putting her purse in the car, in the trunk, as he walks away from the car.
Oh, completely. And even in the house, like, why did they need cameras like that? Like, I do have a camera in my kitchen that you can see the front door and coming down. But I'm going to be honest, why I even had it. I had it when Kiernan was here. I have the sensors outside and the cameras outside for intruders. That camera was here because of Kiernan and his state.
Yeah.
When you have those internal cameras, the way that they were picking up what she was doing and everything. He's watching her.
And because he knew to put the camera face down.
That was not like security. That was on her, because you get those security stuff for outside.
Right. Oh.
Or nanny cams, or you get it for your animal, but you're looking at somebody. So what are you going to do on your first episode?
Well, I think I'm going to do some celebrity stuff, some advice, some things, talk about some
celebrity
entertainment stuff. I watch a lot of reality shows, so maybe do a couple of opinions about things going on those.
Want to know the game I like to play that's super bad taste?
Tell me.
It's really, really bad taste. It's really, really like dirty.
Well, then I'm here for it.
I like to look at celebrities or reality people and try to diagnose them.
See, I'm no good at that. So give me one. Who would you diagnose and with what?
Like, for instance, Jody and I have talked about some of the Real Housewives, like who has histrionic disorder, who is borderline, or who is, you know, who is a narcissist?
Yeah.
Things like that. And I feel like I can do it because there's so much mental health issues in my family that I'm like, no, I'm like,
makes you a bit of an expert.
Exactly. I'm not casting stones over here. I'm just pulling skeletons out of my closet. All right. I love it though. And I love your theme song.
Oh, thank you. Shout out
your husband. Did you good?
Yes, he did.
He did good. I love it.
Thank you.
So where can people find you?
You can find me on social media. Facebook group is, you can just search for Say What Shishi. And I'll let you in as soon as you join that group. I am on Twitter at Ask Shishi. And what's the other one? Instagram is Say What Shishi. And then I also have a little blogging site where people put in, send in questions, anonymous questions, and I give my advice or take on things. And that is at saywhatshishi.com. And I try to answer those within a day or two. get that out there. And of course, it's anonymous. And just like a disclaimer that I put on my intro, I'm not a professional. I'm just your friend giving you my take on things. That's it.
I love you.
I love you, friend. I'm crazy.